Hey guys, awesome episode today. We got a guy coming back to town and a breakup letter you won't believe. Check it out, enjoy, share with friends. Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. I'll say it one more time. Thank you for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's how it works. That's right. Studio audience here. They are pumped. It's a new week. It's a new day. And it's a new time for you to tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa, anyone with ears. We'll take them, okay? We want you to keep spreading the word. That's how it all works. And it feels good. That's what it feels like every time someone posts their Instagram story.
Exactly,
that they're listening.
Exactly like that.
Sounds just like that, right?
Spot
I'll buble
on.
It. That's right. Hit me with some buble. Buble these nuts. And it feels good. That's what song plays in my head every time you guys post it as your Instagram story or tweet about it or Facebook about it. Anything you post on social media about listening to the J Train podcast, that song just starts ringing in my ears. Oh, wait, I open up Instagram and then all of a sudden you tag a bitch? You tagged a bitch? Oh, wait, this is me. I'm opening up Instagram. Okay.
Sun in the sky.
Scroll a bit.
Scrolling a bit. Wait. You know,
check the DMs.
Is that red? Is that a notification? My DMs.
Drifting on by.
Is that? Oh, I'll open
you
it up.
Know how I feel.
Is that someone posting it's the J Train podcast on their Instagram story?
It's a new day.
Oh.
It's a new life.
Is it? Did they tag a bitch?
For me.
Look at that. They tagged a bitch.
There it is.
Good.
And now I'm dancing around the apartment.
No shirt.
Completely naked. Balls flapping. That's right. And then this is the rest of my day. This song is playing in my head. When you tag someone, a friend, a coworker, tag a bitch. Hashtag TAB. Make it your Instagram story. Consider it payment for the entertainment. That's right. Buble me. I'm going to start saying that to people.
What the hell are you talking about?
Buble me now. I want satisfaction. That's how you tell a friend. You make it your Instagram story. Let's start. And I consider it pay. That's me cashing in. That's my new payment for the entertainment.
It almost rhymes.
Almost. Close enough. So keep spreading the word. Keep telling a friend. It is your Tuesday episode of the J Train podcast. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. Very excited about today's guest. A newbie. A new guest alert. Ring that bell, Shelby.
New guest alert.
Yeah, new guest.
Great guest alert.
Oh, a great guest alert.
Who's new?
From the show Summer House on Bravo, Carl Radke. Thank you for coming on.
Hello.
Great guest alert.
There he is.
Hello.
Carl, great to have you. The crowd is excited.
Wow. It's a live audience. Very lit.
Lit audience. They're jacked up. We gave out. Yeah. Look at. Whoa.
Wow. The game show audience here.
Crazy. They go nuts.
Wow.
They love a new guest.
What time do they start drinking?
I give out coffee and booze. So they shit their pants the minute they come in here. Carl Radke is on the new season of Summer House on Bravo, Monday nights at 10. He has a podcast called One Question XYZ. It is a business and sales podcast, and you can find him on Instagram at Carl Radke. You have a lot of jobs. What do you do?
I'm the jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades.
Yes. I honestly, I'm a consultant for a technology company.
Okay. What is that? See, people say, you know, and Carl, for the listeners at home, Carl and I have a lot of mutuals, a lot of mutual friends.
Tons.
He went to high school. You went for outside of Pittsburgh.
Correct. Upper St. Clair. Shout out to the Panthers.
Upper St. Clair. Panthers. Shout out. That is an area that is soiled with people that I know.
Totally. Penn State
a lot
pride.
Of Penn Staters there. A lot of Penn Staters in my immediate circle, good friends of mine. So you went to high school with a lot of people that I know. And then now you're in this like Bravo world. How does it all happen? What do you do? What's a consultant? That's a question I have for consultants. Anytime someone says I'm a consultant, I go, oh, cool. And then I just graze over the fact that I have no idea what that job does.
It basically...
all I know is that they travel a lot and they don't seem to work.
Yeah, well, they call their own shots. So essentially, this company wanted me to advise them on some social media branding strategy.
Okay.
They basically are fundraising platform. So like a GoFundMe without the fraud.
Got it. Okay. I don't know about that. I don't want to get into the GoFundMe is a fraud business.
Go fraud me.
Okay. I didn't know that they had an issue with that. Okay.
Well, they do a little bit, but nonetheless, this company.
Okay. Shelby agrees.
Thank you, Shelby.
So what do we, they're
basically paying me a small, you know, small retainer a month to mm-hmm. advise them on new ways to bring in new clients or new brands.
Okay.
You know, for example, I have some friends that work actually at the NFL.
Okay.
And we're actually having a meeting with the NFL later today.
Oh, cool.
So, you know.
So like, they have you, like, you said it's for social media and brand awareness, right?
Correct, yeah.
So, are they like, when do we post an Instagram story?
I think how do we get in front of new influencers or new, like, you know, celebrity people that might want to raise money for something that matters?
Ah, this makes sense. So you're doing... So you went to college, you went to Syracuse.
I went to Syracuse. Shout out to the Orange.
The Orange.
Yep.
And you get out of Syracuse and you're like, I'm going to become a consultant?
No. So I graduated college and moved right to LA.
Okay.
I wanted to be an actor and a model, and I realized that I'm not.
You're a good looking dude. Well, the model game, I don't know about how you do on summer stage, but I you're good looking.
Thank you.
So what you go to LA.
I moved to LA and I worked, honestly, I went on auditions during the day, but I was a runner for a production company called The World of Wonder.
Okay.
They produced a movie called Party Monster with Macaulay Culkin.
I have a faint memory.
Yeah, it was about the club kids. They were like those crazy partiers in the early 90s at the Limelight.
Okay.
In New York where people are doing drugs and having sex.
Sure.
There's still places like that in New York, but it's not called the Limelight.
I think you could find something there to do with that.
Yeah, and I had a dream of being kind of this actor, you know, producer, and realized that, you know, I wasn't maybe that, you know, confident in going to an audition. Like I would walk into a room and I would just literally shit my pants.
Well, for those at home, I've done the audition. Yeah, the crowd is broken up about this. For those at home, if you've never been on an audition, it's a very unnatural process.
Incredibly awkward.
You walk, they send you lines or like memorize this, and then you walk into a cold room and there's just some woman who is just seen it all. No one can walk in there and surprise them. You could walk into an audition room with fucking firecrackers coming out of your ass and they go, okay, come on, read the line. Like, hey, there's nothing.
It's really awkward.
When you say, I used to walk into auditions because I'm used to like, I came from like, you know, when you meet with someone, and most people come from that world where it's like, hey, nice to meet you. And you go shake their hands.
Yeah,
and you walk into an audition, they're like, what are you talking to me for? Like, you'd be like, hey, nice to meet you. Like, you're gone in 2 minutes. Just do the line.
I always found it awkward, too, though, because, like, sitting in the waiting room, I'm looking around and all the other people there, I'm convinced are way more, you know, a better fit for the role. So I already feel like I've lost before I've gone in.
See, I always like when you're in the waiting room and it's just everyone that looks like you.
Exactly. It's like different variations of you.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, there's, everyone. It's all the video game characters. Like, you know when you create your own character and you're like, can go through the shades of like skin coloration,
well said,
hair stuff. It's just, you're just basically going through like choosing a Call of Duty guy.
Totally. And I went on an audition in front of Jason Alexander.
Oh, shit.
He was directing an episode of Criminal Minds.
Okay.
I had actually worked as a production assistant on Criminal Minds. And they let me read after like a year working there.
Yeah.
And I actually, like, I froze. And he actually goes, just calm down, go back outside, take a minute, and come back in.
Yeah.
And it took me another like 10 minutes to kind of work my...
Dude, it is...
I didn't get the part.
You didn't get the part.
No,
that's what brings you here. Yeah. So the crowd is upset.
But I want to say one thing is I was so scared to go on auditions. I would get to the facility and I'd just sit in my car and I wouldn't go on sometimes.
Yeah, see, that's the...
I was just a pussy. I couldn't handle it.
Well, did you have an agent?
I did not have an agent at the time.
So you were just showing up to...
I was going to like, you know, Craigslist. Like
Craigslist stuff.
And this
yeah.
is back when Craigslist wasn't as weird as it is now.
Yeah. I mean, but that exists on there. People are like, I'm doing my student film.
Yep.
We need people to come out.
Absolutely.
And you show up to a weird building in a weird part of town and you're like, I'm here for the part.
I went to a weird building in North Hollywood one time and actually got the part for this show called The One Night Stands.
It okay.
was like a very off Broadway or not off Hollywood kind of production.
So you're in when I was that a show that went on TV?
Nothing ever happened with it. It was just basically like a live show where we had a scene partner. It was a female, and we kind of told these little vignettes about one night stands and hooking up.
So you go to LA, you're like, I'm going to be a model, actor, producer. And then at what point are you like, get me out of here?
It was like right after that audition. I was
okay.
Like, I started working behind the scenes again. So Criminal Minds I worked with for a while, and I was making, you know, $28,000 a year. It wasn't bad, but I was working my ass off. 90 hours a week. I was stealing. I'm not going to get fired because I'm not working there.
Okay.
But I used to take food from the craft service back home.
Okay.
Because I was like just struggling to make ends meet.
Just trying to make it work.
Yeah.
And you know, that's even tougher when you're now in the behind the scenes. You're like, is this even what I'm... I don't even know where I'm going with this.
Exactly. And I was looking at other producers and nothing wrong with that. But they're in their late, you know, mid-30s. They're driving a shitty Honda Accord. And they've been doing it for 15 years. And I'm like, I don't want to drive a shitty Honda Accord.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting into sales. And I was like, learned from the ground up, like the sales process.
What type of things are you selling?
I was selling dental supplies.
Dentals. That was the one thing. If you go into sales, like I sold life insurance. Like they're like... You start looking at everything that's in the building. You're like, everything here was sold to somebody. Everything here, somebody had to buy. Someone had to make a decision. The paper that we have is a contract with someone that someone made money off
Absolutely. And I mean, it was, I learned a lot about walking into a room of people you don't know and having to generate some sort of rapport and having like an intelligent conversation. So it actually helped me in a way to get to where... Kind of where I am.
So you're selling floss.
I was selling actually braces.
Oh shit, high end product.
Really nice braces.
Okay.
And I actually had some good comebacks because I actually wore braces while I was selling the braces because it really helped in my sales.
That would help immensely.
Yeah,
but
people would make fun of me about my braces.
Of course. Then it breaks it down. Now you're in a position of vulnerability.
Totally. And you know what I would say to them if they didn't like my braces? I'd be like, I didn't know you're so bracist.
Ah, I like it.
That helps
now that you're on retainer.
Ah, Shelby popping
Get that
in.
Audience class show. Show some love for
Classic
Shelby.
Classic Shelb. Nails another one.
So now you're selling dental stuff, and then what happens?
I was selling dental stuff.
Trying to figure out how you end up here today.
You know, it's not like the Oregon Trail. It's
sure.
Not a long journey, but I want to talk about the Oregon Trail later.
Okay, please.
I ended up moving back to New York with the same company.
Oh, to sell dental stuff here.
So I worked for a company like Invisalign.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, I did really well in the New York area. I was making a lot of good, you know, a lot of money. I was networking. And I would go to the Hamptons and spend the summers with a group of friends in a house.
Why wouldn't you?
With no cameras.
Of course.
I did a lot of crazy stuff, partied pretty hard.
For sure.
And met a ton of people. And
for those that, you know, don't know the kind of the scene in New York, every post-college town has the place that people frequent in the summer.
Absolutely.
So, you know, like there's, you know, if you're in Detroit, you're going to Upper Peninsula. Like, you know what I mean? Like there, if you're in Philly, you're going to Avalon. If you're in Florida, you're going to another. But, you know, it exists for everybody. Maybe more cold weather cities. I'm trying to, like, if you're living in, you know, South Florida, that's your life kind of. But I'm sure, like, you guys are doing a boat day. Like,
sure.
There's a version of like, I have no kids. I got a little extra cash. I'm going to go somewhere. And for New York, there's a lot of different places. But, you know, Montauk seems to be the
That's
the
spot.
That's
the
spot. My brother did a house there and I went and visited him. I was like, let me do one night. I went and visited. And I was like, I get it. This is great.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
It was obviously, you know.
Easy to hate on, too, because it's like just people with money. So it's like always easy to make fun of people with money.
The perception is, you know, these rich kids that, you know, just want to spend money and do drugs and have sex with each other, which is kind of the perception.
I mean,
right.
Who doesn't want to be a part of that? So
I did a house. I met a ton of people, and I oddly enough met a group of people that were being asked to be on, like, cast for the show.
So someone came around and was like, "Hey, they're like, we're looking for a group of fun people to do the Real World Montauk."
Correct.
Basically.
So, like, there was actually a legit group of friends that had been spotted, I guess, out in the Hamptons,
sure.
like a surf lodge or some of these other outdoor places, like during the day. Good looking girls, good looking guys.
Of course.
They approached them about, you know, auditioning for the show. Now, I'm not involved in this at all.
Yeah.
So now it's the next spring leading up into the summer when the first season of Summer House is being done. I am not included in this.
Sure.
I'm at my dentist's office getting my teeth cleaned.
Okay.
And my dentist is like, "Hey, your buddy who I had, you know, known a little bit through the Hamptons the previous summer, hey, your buddy's got a TV show on Bravo."
Okay.
And I emailed him after my appointment. I said, "Congrats on the show. What's it about?" And just moved on. He writes me back. "We're actually looking for another guy."
Oh, shit.
And I go, you know, at this time I'd been working in Invisalign for, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years. I was kind of at a point where, you know, I was just ready to do something else.
Yeah.
So I said, fuck it.
You got money.
Yeah.
Because you got that... That braces money,
I got that dental money. I got that teeth money.
Yeah, that teeth money. And you're like, and then they're like, "We need someone." So you left your job right away just to do the show.
I actually stayed with the job.
Yeah.
It was complicating my employment because it was a publicly traded company.
Okay.
And I didn't really have the full understanding of what Summer House was going to be.
Sure.
And the opening credits, I'm driving my company car.
Okay. So they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So yeah. I actually got fired from my job after the show aired.
So you go do the show, you have a fun summer, and then now you're on, it's the third season.
So yeah, since the first season, we, you know, obviously I think what's unique about our show is, and obviously people compare it to Jersey Shore or Real World, we are all legit friends.
Sure.
And then
yeah,
also
if you follow like the crew on social media, you guys are all hanging out.
We're all hanging out, and we all, you know, I think ultimately didn't really know what was going to happen with the show. I mean, we kind of just were showing our life, having fun, screwing each other, drinking, having, you know. But ultimately, it's crazy because I think there's a lot of people that outside of New York City don't really understand that kind of Hamptons culture.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right there. Like, a lot of the beach towns, I think, have a relationship with like that mid-20, early 30s crowd.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's everyone, you know, to say it's rich kids, like, that's a little bit not the reality. You know, if as far as a shore house or a summer house or a beach share, it's a bunch of people throwing in dough,
yep,
and whacking it up and renting it from a rich person that owns that.
Yeah, a rich person that's probably paying for their entire mortgage for the year from that summer.
Yeah, from one summer. It's like, if you know it, you understand it. So yeah. I do understand, like, and that's not to say that in Montauk there's not billion-dollar mansions. Those exist too.
They for sure do. And I think what's cool is, like, we all legit have jobs.
I mean,
for the most part, you know, a lot of my friends on the show are, you know, one has their own PR firm, another guy's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, in sales. I've worked in, you know, some other startups. So, like, we're not working at the t-shirt shop on the boardwalk.
No. Real stakes here.
Yeah, there's real stakes. And I think ultimately there's a lot of New Yorkers that love seeing this part of it because a lot of people in New York area are like, yeah, that was me when I was in my 20s.
I did it. I know it. You know. I know the places they're going. I know the interactions they're having. Mm-hmm. So now you're on this show and you said you were invested in bars. And
yeah, so I've invested thinking this is like, we try to plan out because, like, if you look at Bethany Frankel, she's really been able to, like, build a brand outside of Bravo. And I think we all looked at it as like a really cool way to promote a business or talk about something we're trying to do in our lives. So I invested in these two bars, one Kind Regards in the Lower East Side.
Okay.
And then another, The Lately in Meatpacking.
I know The Lately.
Yeah, it's right next to the Dream and Tao.
I've hung out at The Lately. It's a good bar.
It's a good bar. So I invested in these. We have actually filmed Summer House episodes at these bars.
What an opportunity.
So I thought that would be a really cool, you know, publicity promotion. It didn't really pop off the way I thought. You know, people like, "Oh, that's Carl's bar.
We got to go hang out at Carl's place." Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a few people that'll show up there and request. But
this is great. I'm excited. Go check out Summer House Mondays at 10. One question, XYZ. What? Now explain, when's that podcast come out, and explain
it
to
is,
the listeners.
This is, I'll explain it. So over the last 2 years being on Bravo, you get requests for a lot of interviews. You get a lot of press. I've done so many podcasts that are like, sitting in a girl's apartment and she's like, "So what's it like dating in New York?"
Yeah.
And it gets exhausting talking about the same, like, just typical girl, like, relationship stuff, which I understand there's an audience for it. So
this whole podcast.
me being in, like, the sales world and, you know, wanting to invest in stuff, I was like, okay, there's actually Bravo people that have their businesses that no one really airs out. So I thought it'd be really cool to talk about the real shit that goes on with, you know, their business. So, like, we've had on, you know, Lindsay Hubbard on my show. She's got her own PR company. I actually, like, asked her, like, "How the fuck did you start a PR company when you're 28 years old with very minimal money. So we talk about the real stuff behind the business and offer some sales advice, offer marketing advice.
Sure.
So yeah, it's been actually really cool to...
But that's one of those things, like there's so many podcasts out there. It's like, okay, what's your show?
You gotta differentiate.
Like, how do you differentiate? How do you... And also people are looking to... commiserate over business best practices.
Exactly. Like, how did you screw this up, or how did you do well here?
Yeah. If I knew what I knew, if I knew today what I thought I knew in the past, I'd be 20 times better.
Exactly.
Let other people make the mistakes for you.
Exactly. So I think too, I was going to say is like the perception of, if you do watch Summer House, I urge you to watch, but the perception of me on the show is, you know, I'm a single fuck boy, you know, like I obviously have a lot of fun with girls. I've been caught kind of playing, and you learn a lot about yourself watching it, but the podcast is another way to like kind of balance out the nonsense.
There's a whole person here.
Yeah, there's actually a guy that's like educated and actually intrigued by business and sales.
They also have to like edit you a certain way. Like I remember I interviewed Josh Murray, who was The Bachelor.
Yep.
And he's like, there are people out there that hate Josh Murray.
Yeah, there's some people that hate me too.
Yeah, and I was talking to him and I was like, dude, like people really have a feeling about you. And he's like, well, you know, I broke up with this one. I broke up with that one. That's how they know me. I was painted the villain because we needed a villain. And then you talk to him, you're like, oh, this guy's a good dude.
Yeah.
And then you meet the other people that have been on the show and you're like, they're like a hero to people.
And then you hate them.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, this was a bad vibe all around. So these editors and the producers are geniuses. They know how to tell a story.
And I think I fit that role maybe from just... I've definitely played up a little bit. It's me, but like when you meet me in person.
But how old
are
you, Carl?
I'm 34.
You're 34. Yeah. You're out there. You're trying to meet women. You're single.
Yeah, I am single.
You're going to look bad.
Totally.
There's no, dating is messy. Trying to fuck is messy.
Yeah.
As we learn here on the J Train podcast every Tuesday and Friday. I'm just saying it's not, it's easy to hate on the good looking guy who's trying to get laid, who doesn't want to be in a relationship.
And that's something I've matured a lot since watching this stuff come out. Because it's, the first season I was brought home a girl like every other night or didn't sleep at the house because I was at someone else's house.
Yeah.
But even if like they show me getting into bed with a girl, I didn't have sex with her, but the way it is presented, it looks like I had sex every night.
You guys could have talked to each other all night about, a sick grandparent.
No one
would have known.
My pillow talk is second to none.
That's right.
And, honestly, they paint it as like I'm this Don Juan having sex every night. My dick would have fallen off if I did that.
And it's easy to paint it that way. And it's also what people want to watch.
Yep.
I
fit that role very well.
Well, we're pumped to have you at Carl Radke. Go follow, go support.
And Twitter too, at Carl Radke. You actually would like my Twitter game because I take a lot of abuse on Monday nights during the episodes.
People are calling you out.
But I come back at them. I usually just say, thanks for the support.
Yeah, well, that's Bethany Frankel right there. At least they're talking about you.
Yep.
So if you want to take a page out of her book,
totally.
That's the way to go.
The same people that hate you like online, they actually they're the same people that want to take a picture with you.
Yeah, they don't hate you. I'm right now, I put up this, everyone just wants to be heard in the way that they have fashioned it. I put up this post. I talked about it on Coffee with J Train on Patreon on Sunday. I talked about it.
That Patreon.
Patreon.com/JaredFreed. $3 a month for J Train. Coffee with J Trains every Sunday. I talked a little bit. I put up this post about how it was so interesting the way it got maneuvered. And it's like the post was.
What was the post?
On my Instagram. It was basically. I can read it for you right now.
Yeah, I want to say.
So the post
I've seen some of your tweets, which are actually amazing.
Let's stop this narrative that you correct someone's spelling or grammar because you're a nerd. Stopping a whole conversation because you found a spelling error isn't a nerd move. It's a bully move. It's how most obnoxious person in class would act.
That's a great tweet.
Thank you. To me, the statement I am making is... Yeah, if you correct someone's grammar or spelling, you're not a nerd.
No, you're kind of a dick.
You're a dick. But that's okay.
Yeah.
If you correct people, but don't sit here and go, "Well, I'm such a nerd. I couldn't get over that you used the wrong pronunciation of there."
Yeah.
Or you spelled dessert wrong. None of the nerds I grew up with were calling people out.
No,
that was a bully move.
Totally. And I Tom Brady had a misspelling yesterday in his Gronk retirement post.
Sure.
And he spelled privilege wrong. And I saw a couple of comments and I'm like, Leave the guy alone.
Like, also, like, you understood what he was saying.
Yeah, you know,
like,
the word.
You know the word. Like, this isn't the fucking Great American Novel.
No,
you
it's
know?
Not like it's not like he's turning this into, like, you know, Congress for, like, a, you know, Attorney General report.
Even so, it's not being etched in stone above your home.
But why doesn't Instagram and Twitter build in a like a spelling correction field so that we don't look like idiots too?
Well, it's also like, do I think it's time? Are you going to check in with Brady a year from now to go, hey, have you learned how to spell privilege? Are you okay?
I think it's just
no
that word
one
itself.
Checks up with them.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like you don't care that he got it wrong. He's also not learning from it. He's got spell check. He'll figure it out. I think he's going to be okay.
So what would happen here? Did you get a lot of
flack? What happens is a lot of people are saying, oh, now you can't tell people how to act. And it's like, yeah, you're a bully. Just know that you're a bully. Like, my message wasn't to say, you know, I'm just saying, know who you are.
Yeah.
Don't come at me with, I'm a nerd, so I had to tell you how to spell something. It's like, no, you're a dick. You're someone who wants to sound like a smarter person than someone. You want to be the authority on something. You have an issue where you can't just like let things go.
Yeah.
This is more about you than me.
Yeah. I've actually posted a few things on my stories where I spelled it wrong. Like, I spelled tomorrow wrong.
Yeah.
Like, my bad.
But that's another thing. Like, first of all, everyone knew you meant tomorrow.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think you know how to spell tomorrow.
I do know.
Yeah. Like, I think you'll be okay. So it's like, you know, where in your body, you know, and that's an internet thing where adults trying to parent other adults. People act like everyone else was raised by wolves and you're the only one that had parents that taught you how to spell tomorrow.
And I've gone and looked at their pages and try to like find something that they fucked up. And
someone wrote this long thing today, this long comment. And I didn't even read it. I just wrote, it's Monday morning. Yes. Like, don't you have shit to do?
Yeah, like who pissed in your Cheerios?
So it's, you know, there's this whole world out there. I don't know even how we got down this road. But go follow Carl. Go get into this podcast. One question, XYZ, at Carl Radke. Go follow on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to get into the emails. I'm super pumped to have you. But first, we're sponsor people. Brooklinen. Love the feeling of the sheets when I stay at a fancy hotel. I love the feeling so much, and I wanted to bring it home with me. But it shouldn't be expensive hassle to buy sheets like that. However, once you start looking, you'll realize most bedding is marked up 300%. But Brooklinen offers luxury sheets without the luxury price tag. Here's the thing. All of us want nice things. All of us want to pay the correct amount for those nice things. All of us want to feel good about our purchases. All of us want to sleep in a comfortable bed.
All I've ever wanted.
Exactly. I'm not speaking out of class right now. So Brooklinen is a way to do that. It's a way to spend the appropriate amount of money on a really great product that you'll feel good about having on your bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with this little detergent that you... let me give you your Sunday. You go right now, brooklinen.com, okay? You go to brooklinen.com, use promo code JTRAIN, okay? That's 10% off your first order and free shipping. Promo code JTRAIN, brooklinen.com. So listen, you're going to go to brooklinen.com, you're going to put in the promo code JTRAIN, and then you're going to get the sheets in a couple days, and they're going to come to your door, you're going to throw them in the wash, you're going to use the detergent they give you, you're going to make your bed, and guess what? You're sitting on a cloud of fun. Because nothing feels better than getting into a freshly made bed that just came out of the wash, the sheets just came out of the wash. And Brooklinen has the best sheets I've ever slept in.
Feeling great in them.
Talk about feather your nuts.
Feather your whole body.
Feather your body. So listen, I personally love the Lux Satine sheets. They're the best seller, and I can tell you why. The sheets are buttery soft and feel cool to the touch. I love what Brooklinen is doing. They're taking something that we all really don't want to think about or deal with, and they're saying, listen, stop going to the store and looking at two different sheets and wondering about thread count. Let us just say to you, these are great.
Gives me
high quality. Done. It's over. Let the mailman work for you. You're not going to stores to try and figure out, oh, I need new sheets.
Yeah.
Nah, you're done, okay? All you're doing is you're saying, I trust you, J-Train. I trust you, Brooklinen. Take your discount and you go to bed on that. So I love them. So here's the offer. 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code JTRAIN, JTRAIN, JTRAIN at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code JTRAIN. The only way to get 10% off your first order and free shipping is to use promo code JTRAIN at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code JTRAIN, brooklinen. These are really the best sheets ever. Super pumped, Carl Radke, at Carl Radke.
I like Brooklinen, too.
Do you have them?
I went to a party for them, and I have some sheets.
Oh, they're good, right? They're good.
Yeah.
Dude, they're fucking good. Let's do some emails. You ready?
Absolutely.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Girlfriend's new job impacting the relationship. So you've had a bunch of jobs.
Yep. Tons of jobs.
Switching up.
It's hard. I think girlfriend's jobs are tough to deal with sometimes.
Okay. Long time listener since the TFM days. I've been having some issues with my girlfriend, and I'm hoping you, Shelby, and your esteemed guests can shed some light. We've been dating about 8 months or so. She just started her first full-time job a couple months ago. For reference, we're both in our early 20s. Over the last couple of weeks, I've noticed that she's very short-fused with me, and it feels like most things I say or do set her off. We're also not having so much sex as frequently as we did. A few times a week to maybe once a week. Obviously, that's not the most important part of a relationship, but it definitely is important to think about. I've tried talking to her about what's going on, but she says she doesn't know what's wrong, and I believe her. She's pointing to the fact that she's always exhausted because of work, which is totally understandable given the pace of the job. But do you think that's the reason for our problems, or is it this a cover for an issue I'm not seeing? How do I go about supporting her and figuring out how to fix this? I love this girl, and I want to make it work, but could that be blinding me to the fact that this just might not be working? What do you think?
Wow. I've dated a girl that worked a really intense medical job.
Okay.
She was almost like a doctor, but like a kind of a high-level nurse.
Okay.
And her work hours were awful. She would come home very stressed out. She would get really drunk to kind of vent about everything. I think being honest with her about how you feel, sharing that, I really care about you, but is this job more important than our relationship?
Yeah.
Some people put the jobs ahead of the relationship, which I think is tough.
Listen, I'm guilty of that myself. I put a lot of comedy stuff ahead of the relationship that I'm in. And it's tough to balance. Balance is difficult.
Balance is hard.
And the thing about you can just say balance is difficult and move on, or you can try to fix it.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with this girl, okay? He says, we've been dating 8 months or so. She just started her first full-time job a couple of months ago. That first job out of college, and this isn't a male-female thing. This is just what you find with people, is that when you do that first job out of college, some people don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, it's new. It's new, new territory for them.
Totally new territory. New adjustment. So. New adjustment, and it's also a couple months in. And so a lot of people, what you find is there's some people that can't, that think no one else works.
Yeah.
That no one else dealt with
this. They're the only one.
They're the only one who deals with stress at jobs. They're the only one. No, we're all dealing with this shit. Yeah. Everyone has time constraints. You're not busy. Everyone's busy. So my thing to this guy is, you kind of have to have tough love with her.
Yeah.
You kind of have to say to her, yeah, this happens. People get tired. Also, there's an adjustment period of how your sleep is with a job. You can't go out every night on a weekend anymore, maybe.
No.
You can't go and drink your face off and expect to come back on Monday and be good on Tuesday. It just doesn't work that way. So this is all about adjustments. This is about adjusting schedules. This is about, and also, not letting her believe that this is only her problem.
I think that's good advice. I would suggest to this guy would be maybe find, invite her to maybe get her weekend away from the job, or get a hotel.
She's two months in. She needs a fucking vacation already.
Maybe a small vacation.
She's been living a vacation since she got the job.
This guy just wants to get laid.
Yeah. Well, I think also not feeling bad that you're hey, let's go out tonight. And then if every time you say, let's go out tonight, she goes, well, it's been a tough week at work and I'm so tired. It's everyone does this. You're not the first person to ever work 40 hours in a week.
Yeah.
Okay. Or whatever the hours
I think tough love's good.
So I think you have to stop feeling so badly about her doing things that everyone's doing And I'm not saying you're forcing sex. I'm saying then you say to her, like, listen, and then you could start to build a case. Hey, every time I ask you to come out, you say you're too busy, you're too tired. We don't have sex anymore. We used to have sex a couple times a week. Now it's once a week. I have my needs too. If you can't get used to work, maybe we need to take a break until you're used to work.
Yeah.
But also understand that you're not the only one who goes to work.
I think that's great advice.
Right now he's like treating her with kid gloves. And that happens to a lot of people when they first get their first job. People think, you kind of dance around this. And like, I think that's a bad way to go. It's more, yeah, everyone works. What are we doing this weekend? Like, what do you want to do? You want to go out for dinner? Let's do something fun.
I think doing something fun for her to kind of show that he cares, but also maybe acknowledging, I know that the job's tough, but having a tough talk with her.
Yeah.
Hey, sweets. Like, listen, everybody's got work. Everybody's got new jobs, but, yours is no different, but I'm here to support you. And
sure. And it's also like, and it's like wearing a new coat. Like, you have to get used to the new coat. You got to break it in. So you have to, this also, the relationship has to work in a coat.
Yep.
So you have to say, okay, well, if this week isn't good, when is good? Like, you have to start questioning, okay, when can we work this out? And this is like new job shit, as opposed to like, everyone's dealing with schedules and everyone has to say, oh, you have a work event that night? Okay, yeah. Do your work event. But, if you want to do something on Saturday, I'm around on Saturday. You're constantly working out schedules.
Sure. And I think some, maybe like a little motivational thing, like maybe sending her a nice text or a nice card handwritten during the week. Like, hey, I know it's tough week, but I'm really looking forward to spending time with you Saturday.
And even to that point, like saying, hey, I know it's tough. And I know it's tough adjusting to a new life. And this is life. But fucking get over it.
Can we have sex?
Booze helps.
Booze helps.
Alcohol always helps.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
Cold alcohol helps.
Cold alcohol. Also, like, getting together and just, like, releasing the day together. Hey, let's do wine tonight. Let's fucking talk about it. We're sponsor people. Very excited about this sponsor. Brewmate.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of cold alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
I got Brewmate hooked it up.
It's amazing.
It's really great. When founder Dylan Jacob, boy, we're really going into this guy's life.
Take it back.
Let's take it back. When founder Dylan Jacob turned 21, he quickly discovered that warm alcohol sucks.
I hate it.
Hate it. Dylan's right. So he created Brewmate, the fastest growing drinkware brand in the world. The mission at Brewmate is to create perfect drinking experiences by ensuring every sip of your favorite adult beverage is just as refreshing as the first, no matter where life takes you. Their diverse product line ensures a perfect match for everyone, from insulated coolers for slim and craft cans, unbreakable nosing glasses, and insulated canteens that keep a full bottle of wine at the perfect temperature for over 24 hours. So I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
The most important part of that opening is the diverse product line.
Oh, yeah.
They have so many different containers to keep your brew or alcohol, whatever you like, they're going to keep it cold.
I don't know what I'm bringing, and I don't know if there's going to be a fridge or a cooler.
You have no idea. And this is why I like Brewmate, what they're doing. I have the wine bottle. I got the beer cup. I got the wine glasses. I have a lot of different things that I can go on the deck with and have a day.
You can...
I would never have to come back in the fridge again.
Stay out in the sun.
All day long. I'm going to be the tannest motherfucker on earth because of Brewmate. So, listen. It's fashion and function. They look great. I just like this product. I just want to encourage everyone to go to the website at the very least just to see how many different containers there are.
Think about when you're drinking, you like it cold, and this is really going to help you out.
Yeah, I use it. I came back at night, one cube of ice, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great product, and just I got to encourage you, go to the website and just see how many things. I don't know how they're doing it. They got so many different types of things to put alcohol in.
You have a lot of different types that you like.
Yeah.
Got a lot of different containers for you.
Right now, Brewmate is giving our listeners a special discount of 15% off your first order when you go to brewmate.com. That's brewmate.com, brewmate.com. Promo code JTRAIN. 15% off when you use my code JTRAIN at brewmate.com. Don't let summer heat ruin your drink. Go to brewmate.com and beat the heat this summer. Wine glasses, wine bottles, flasks. They have everything. If you drink it, they got the container for you.
If you drink it, they will come.
They will come. Get 15% off your first order by using my code JTRAIN at brewmate.com. That's BRUMATE.com. Code JTRAIN.
We need some of those for the summer house.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I need to get some of the brewmates.
I'll show you the wine glasses.
Sounds awesome.
Fucking great. Let's do some more meals. JTRAIN podcast at gmail.com here with Carl Radke, at Carl Radke. Would love your opinion insight. Dated a guy for 6 months in the Midwest, and then his job moved him back to the West Coast. Obviously, we saw the expiration date, which made our time together easy and great. He's coming back in a month for a year and a half and is starting to interact with all of my social media again.
Wow.
I think we all know the move, right?
Yeah, he's trying to get back in there.
He's coming back. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to toss little
dangle some
love
carrots
grenades
out there.
Out there. Let her know. I'm coming.
I'm coming back, babe.
This cock is coming to town.
Roll this grenade in the room and just see what happens.
Yeah, that's right.
The prodigal boyfriend.
So texted me for the first time since he left last night. Sent something casual about my college basketball team. Screenshot below. I'm not surprised that he's reaching back out since things ended civilly. Would love your opinion on this. Am I ever going to be able to be more than just a fun, chill Midwest girl? I'm 23. He's 29. Rated reviews, subscribe, and share with friends. So here's the text exchange. She wrote, I had a feeling we were going to lose that game going into it. Dean was injured and Barry always freaks out during big games. And then he writes back, K-State always chokes.
Ooh.
We made it to the Elite Eight last year, also won the Big 12 this year. He writes, won the Big 12, so out in the first round. And then she writes, yep. So you text me to talk shit on K-State or ... I like what she did.
Yeah, this is good.
She's like, I'm done with fucking college game day.
She knows the game.
Yeah, she knows what's going on. She's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah,
here?
Call him out.
He writes, yeah, you know, I like to talk shit. Friendly banter. She wants to know. So that's
That's a good thread right there.
Well, it's a good thread because it kind of tells you everything.
Yeah, he's been busted. She knows exactly what he's
looking for. He's been busted. I mean, we've all sent these texts.
Yeah, you butter her up with a few comments about some sports or relevant
sure.
things, and then it's like, okay, what are we really doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing? And then she was like, "What's going on? What do you want? You want to talk shop? You know? So, what do you think? Does she have a chance to get out of it? Is this always? Has she been placed?
I think she's. I mean, being the age group.
Sure.
You know, she's younger. I think he's looking to just obviously hook up with her again. But for her, I would say. Put you know when ask him to like be legitimate, like take me out for a real date.
Yeah,
play hard to get a little bit.
Here's the thing that a lot of women have issues with, and I put this on women because we get the emails here, I get the DMs. I'm not saying this because I'm making it up, or I'm not saying that they're less than for saying this. I'm saying a lot of and they're probably more human for being this way. A lot of women have a problem with saying with. Switching boxes.
Mm-hmm.
They think because I did, so I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like she said, we had this great 6 month thing that had an ending. He moved away. Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Great.
Ended amicably.
And that's hard to do. So I kudos to both of these people.
So they had fun, but you know, it is okay to say fun time is over. And not to say fun time is over, but that fun time is over.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting here, three dudes, Shelby, we're all looking at each other going, yeah, if you want something serious, you can write back to him. Can't wait for you to come back. We should get drinks.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, okay, well, just whenever you want me to come, I'll just come on over.
Yeah,
like,
she's got to stand ground on what she wants out of this, and I think.
Own your standard.
Yeah, own it. But I think they're going to get back together.
Yeah, well, because and the reason he's coming back is the reason we all know. We're all smiling at each other here while we tape because we know this guy's like, listen, I'm going back to a place. I need to make sure there's water waiting for me at the fucking creek.
Yeah, he wants something to look forward to.
And you're the creek, okay? And he needs to, and he's thirsty.
Very thirsty.
And he wants to come back, and what he's doing, the person you go back to is the person you just came from.
And if, let's say things go well for, like, let's say they get back together or they start dating some more. Who's to say that maybe things go well? You can maybe move to where he goes next.
Who knows? But this is the thing. You have to say to this guy, you know, she says, am I going to be the, I would love your, am I ever going to be able to be more than the fun Midwest girl? You are if you ask for it.
Yeah.
But it, you might get a no. So if you come to him and go, hey, I'm pumped for you to come back. Let's do drinks when you're back. That is a way, that is you sending a contract offer to him. And then he goes, oh, cool, we'll see.
Yeah, then you know where you stand.
Then you know where you stand.
Yeah.
But don't call, you, there's no need to you to teach this guy a lesson. Sounds good, let me know. Totally. Now you're there.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've got some other things that she's been doing. Like, yeah. She's probably got some other options.
But the reason when she called him out and he goes, yeah, just talking shit. Just, it's not like he was going to write right away, I love you. I need you. Please take me back. No, he's going to come back. He's going to see what the land is like. Just like I said, he's thirsty.
Totally.
He wants to make sure there's something to drink once he lands.
And I've done
this. You don't have to be that drink.
I've done that where I've moved back to a place and you immediately start hitting up those old.
Totally.
Or possible, you know, contracts that were never closed.
Absolutely. And that, and the thing is, dating is a constant negotiation. You don't have to just take the deal you're offered. Watch Shark Tank. They don't go. They go on there and they say, I'm offering for $500,000. I'll give you 10% of my company. Then they look at them. And they go, well, you make this much money. You make that much money. No, I'll give you $500,000 for 50%.
Yeah.
And then they look at them. They go, and never on Shark Tank are they offended.
Yeah.
I think if we acted more that way in dating, it would be a little bit easier.
Totally. That's actually good advice.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. This is a good email for you. Expensive friends.
Ooh.
At Carl Radke is here. Summer House, Monday nights at 10. One question, XYZ is this podcast, business and sales podcast. A few months ago, I started hanging out with a new circle of friends. I have known a couple of them for years, but recently started hanging out with them on a regular basis after some other friends moved out of town. They're a lot of fun and go out all the time. Dinner and drinks during the week, bars on the weekends, brunch on Sundays. They have trips planned every few months, and it seems like they're always doing something. All that is great, but the problem is I'm having a hard time funding all these activities. I work in advertising and don't make a ton of money, but I make enough to pay the bills, have some fun, and put some into savings each month. I have moved things around my budget to account for more going out more, but it's not sustainable. I don't currently have any debt, and I plan on keeping it that way. They all have pretty good jobs, so they feel like they have more flexibility for activities. How do I go about saying no to plans when it's only for financial?
Oh! Bless you.
Well, thank you. Or it's only for financial reasons. I want to say yes to hangouts since I'm new to the group, but it's hard to keep up, and I feel like turning down plans just to sit on my couch is a good way to quit getting involved to invited to shit. I've had to turn down trips to Mexico and Costa Rica, but turning down brunch is a little harder to make case for. Please help. What do you think?
I've been in that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely run with certain groups of friends that are, you know, going to Aspen for
$4,000 or $5,000
for a weekend trip. And I'm like, you know, you just got to kind of pick your spots.
Sure.
It's definitely hard. I mean, it sounds like, is this a girl or a guy?
This is a dude.
Dude. I mean, is there hot chicks in this group?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's...
There's got to be somebody in that group that he's really curious about, I think, that's worth spending some of this money. But if there's really no one in that group that I think ultimately is going to lead to some of your goals, maybe dating someone or...
Yeah, I think the...
It's okay to say no.
It's okay to say no. It's okay to go, hey, I think... Here's... It's a tight wire.
Yeah.
Because I hear what he's saying. Everything he's saying is correct.
Absolutely.
You got this group that's going out, high-flying, spending money... I get it. And also, I think it's the one thing you have to be careful of is to make statements with judgment or to say no with judgment. So, like, listen, if they have the ability to spend this money, good for them.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean bad for you. You know, it doesn't, just because they can do it doesn't mean that you are a sad loser. And also doesn't mean that they're privileged assholes.
Yeah.
You know, like, both don't have to be true.
Totally.
They could just be people that go on, you know, they're lucky. Or they, you know, they're lucky to be able to live that lifestyle. Life is different for everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone's life is hard in their own way. So my advice to this person is to, you know, respectfully decline.
Yeah.
And that's okay to do, but don't make it Don't be that person. Here's what makes no one stops being friends with someone because they can't afford to do the things they do. You stop being friends with someone when they start making you this asshole for making, you know, doing things that they can't afford to do.
Totally. And I've been in situations where you hang out with these rich or expensive friends.
Sure.
And if you could actually start pissing them off because if you can't chip in where you're supposed to chip in, and then they'll get mad at you because you're not able to afford it.
Yeah.
So I think if you get ahead of it a little bit, you're going to save yourself. You know, those situations. Because I've definitely lost some friends that, you know, they've owed me money or, you know, just as cause. It causes
money will
more.
Ruin all your friendships and family and all your relationships.
But I think you got to pick your battles. Save a little bit of money and look, you know, look forward to the trips when you can be there. And don't resent it when you can.
And they're going to be like, wow, look, they're going to be pumped when you can do it. So you know, the majority of this advice is how you do it.
Yeah.
Not doing it doesn't make you not a friend to them.
Totally.
Not doing it and saying to them, oh, yeah, I can't do your rich thing this week. Sorry, I can't afford the yacht this week. And it's like, yeah, I don't want to be around you. I don't want to be around that guy who's like, fucking, you know, fuck it. You're a sore loser at that point.
Yeah, it's hard to fit in. But I mean, honestly, you might want to build your credit a little bit. Open up a credit card, pick a couple of things you can do and pay that shit off and have some fun.
Yeah, and choose your spots.
Choose your spots.
And no, but I have done this thing where like everyone's like, we're doing brunch. And then someone will go, well, lucky, good, you know, must be nice. And it's like, all right, no one wants to hang out with must be nice person.
No.
People want to hang out with the person that's like, oh, this is the one I go to and I'm going to have the best time at this because I've prepared for this.
Yeah.
So, they, you know, I don't know really, you know, I'll just encourage you to say that it's, they're not going to lose you as a friend because you can't go. They'll lose you as a friend because you have to tell them why you can't go and that you make yourself some sort of like fucking GoFundMe.
GoFundMe.
You know? JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Speaking of money, we're sponsored people. NeoU. NeoU is a boutique fitness reimagined as a digital platform. Work out live and on demand with the best trainers in the world without leaving your home. I love NeoU because it gives you options when you feel like you have none at all. When you're at home or you're on the road and you're like, oh, I'm not going to work out today because I only got 45 minutes. And then you go, wait a minute. NeoU is in your pocket ready to go. The best part is the variety. You can get any class you want on here. Dance training, cardio boot camp, Aoki boot camp, DJ Steve Aoki's cardio workouts, and super unique content you won't find anywhere else like Khan Body, a workout delivered by Koss Marte while serving a sentence in prison. That's right. Doing dips off the toilet.
I was going to say, jailhouse workouts are the best.
That's it. Listeners to JTrain can get a special deal. Sign up on the web at neoufitness.com. That's N-E-O-U fitness.com to receive 1 month free with promo code JTrain. After that, it's just $7.99 a month. Wow. That's relatively cheap in the workout world. $7.99 a month. Are you kidding me? Compared to going to a group fitness class for, you know, $30
$40.
Yeah.
Smell everybody.
Yeah. Sign up online at neoufitness.com. Enter code JTrain, and start getting fit. Listen, they got 40 categories to choose from. Here's the thing. It's Netflix for fitness. What I love about this is the variety. Nothing harder than going to the gym. There's nothing harder than going to the gym to do the same fucking thing you did yesterday. Let NeoU help you out. I love it. I'm a huge fan. I do it all the time on the road. NeoUFitness.com. Go promo code JTrain. Month free. Let's do another email. We got time for one more?
We absolutely do.
We got our next guest at the door that you can hear in the background.
Shout out to
Let's do
guest.
One more email. Okay.
This is fun, man.
I'm happy you're enjoying.
This is really fun.
Hi, Jared. Love the podcast. You tell it like it is. Really helps. Thank you. Especially love the live shows. Thank you. Feather. So what is the deal with this? I just broke up with my boyfriend of a few years. I love him, but the relationship was not good for me. He was great, generally lazy boyfriend and a downer to be around and became synonymous with disappointment. He let me down continuously and always made me feel wrong for wanting decency. All right, there's a lot of vagueness to that sentence that makes her right and him wrong, but we'll go with it. When I broke up with him, I said I needed to move on. I didn't detail why, because knowing him, he would turn anything I said around to be my fault or just make excuses or get angry. It would only be a miserable exchange for me, so I just told him it's over and I don't want to talk about it. Well, how do you think? What do you think about that?
I think space is good.
Space is good,
and shutting off communication, I think, sometimes gives some clarity. Sometimes.
Shutting off communication is good. I think saying it's over and then nothing else is kind of tough.
It's tough.
Because what it does, and this happens when people go, well, maybe I'll be able to be with you in a few months.
Yeah.
It leaves the door open.
Door's open.
So let's keep going with the email. So about a week later, I find some stuff on my front porch. He put everything I ever gave him or made him into a box and dropped it off and left it on my front door. Of course, this was a little creepy because I came home late the previous night, so I know he came by even later that night and didn't ring the doorbell. At the end of a relationship, she can't have it both ways. You can't say, I don't talk to you, and then he goes, here's your shit, and then go,
like, why
didn't you ring the doorbell? Yeah. So it can't be, you can't have it all in a breakup.
No.
This is the part I don't understand. This exact thing actually happened with my last boyfriend, too. He also left a box full of everything I had given him, dropped it at my doorstep. I had not contacted either of them since the breakup. I never asked for my stuff back. I personally will keep the stuff as a reminder of our time or just because the gifts are nice to have around. Why do these guys throw away everything I gave them? Why do they toss it back at me? Obviously, I don't want or need it. I don't understand these guys. Also, this time, my ex left me a letter. I was not surprised about that. I figured he would tell me off. That's not what the letter said, though. I've attached it here. What do you make of it? Why would he imply that he wants to get back together with me, but at the same time, throw all my gifts into a box on my doorstep and give them away to his friends? Please don't post or share the letter at all. Please don't read much of it on the air. I want anonymity and privacy. Okay. Well, this person wants it all at every turn.
Yeah, she wants to be in control here. I think sometimes with all the gifts you're giving.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm going to say to her right now.
Yeah.
We love you. We're happy you sent in. We're happy that you trusted the podcast enough for us to give you advice on it, but we're not going to just tell you you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right, Shelby?
We can't just hold your hand.
We can't just hold your hand, right, Carl?
We can't just hold your hand.
Because reading this out loud, and maybe she'll realize it when she hears this back, but there's a lot of hypocrisy in this email.
There is.
Right?
Yeah, we're not just gonna agree with you here.
No, she tells him it's over. She says, I don't want it, no opinion. It's over. Anything you say to me will make me upset.
Yeah.
So now we're getting she's painting the picture of how she deals with problems. So the way you deal with problems is to say, don't tell me anything I don't want to hear. It's going to upset me too much. Mm-hmm. So listen, fine, if that's what you want. But then he comes with all of your shit and drops at your front door and you go, well, why would he do this? And then say, maybe he wants to get back together. And it's like, you make the decision to break up on your own.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
So don't, you drive your bus, let him drive. Every one of us deals with heartbreak in different ways. Every one of us deals with how we get ended with and how we, you know, all in our own ways.
I agree. I think
don't judge him by how he reacts to being dumped. He's dumped.
And then he probably had a couple of drinks and returned in the middle of the night.
Yeah. And why would he not want to hear your shit there? Because it's a reminder of you.
Totally.
It's a reminder of someone who ended it with him. If you've been dumped, it feels like you're a loser.
Yeah, you want to get rid of all memories of anything.
I don't see anything wrong with what he did.
No, not at all. I think she's just mad because he returned in the middle of the night.
I see something wrong with cutting someone's arm off and then getting mad that they screamed while you did it. Right?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to all of us, doesn't it? We're three people who are not involved with this. So, because the email, it bothers me in a way because I'm not bothered by her. I understand she's going through a tough time. I'm bothered that she's like, well, why do these guys throw everything I gave them? Because they're not with you anymore.
Yeah,
it's over. Don't walk away from the burning house that you just lit on fire and ask why it's still on fire.
I want to know what's in the box.
It's probably
what kind of stuff
shitty
is she giving
you didn't
him?
Even want anyway.
Yeah, why? If you're giving them shitty gifts, maybe they. Maybe
yeah, gifts. I, this is why I don't give material things to people. Material things to me, This is the reason I don't give material gifts to significant others, because it feels like it is used against you the minute you guys break up.
Totally. Totally. I actually need to pick up some stuff from an ex-girlfriend.
Yeah? Really?
She's got a jacket of mine.
So well, that's the thing. You want the jacket back.
But I think, yeah, it's been awkward. There's always this awkwardness. I agree.
But it sucks.
If you told them it's over, I mean.
But this is the thing. You ended it for the reasons you ended it.
Yeah.
They had nothing to do with why he would want to end it or why he would want to stay in it. You made the decision.
And it's a handwritten letter. Who writes handwritten letters like that anymore?
Good for him. Old school.
I like it.
It's like The Notebook. I don't know. I just think like. Why do these guys throw everything away? Why do they toss it back at me? Obviously, I don't want it. You should throw these things away yourself. The letter, I'm not surprised about that. I figured he would tell me off. That's not what. See, the thing is, here's what annoys me. I'm getting to the point of why I'm annoyed. Also, my ex left me a letter. I was not surprised about that. I figured he would tell me off. That's not what the letter said, though. I have attached it here. What do you make of it? Why would he imply that he wants to get back together? Here's what annoys me. You made the decision to end the relationship. Now you're looking for him to rubber stamp the ending of the relationship instead of saying everything. You know, you want him to go, you're right. You want him to give you the reason that you were right.
Yeah.
And that's not how life works. You made a decision for you. You're going to either win or lose in this. I think you're going to win. Because you weren't happy. You were so unhappy that you did the hardest thing ever. And that's telling someone that you genuinely care about that you don't want to see them again.
It is the hardest thing ever. Really hard.
Because you do care about him. But that's a different phase of your life. It's time to move on. But don't feel the need to get him to go, and you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he's going to disagree.
He's going to disagree.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Carl Radke, thank you for coming on.
Jared, you're the man. JTrain.
Pleasure.
The man. And hopefully I'll see you in Lot D at Penn State drinking some natural lights again sometime.
Well, that's where we met.
That's where we first met.
Lot D25.
I had about 35 natural lights. And I dunked my head into a bucket of ice and
chugged
more.
That's what it's all about.
You guys are great.
At Carl Radke on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow. Go support. Summer House, Mondays at 10. One Question XYZ is the Business and Sales Podcast. Go check it out. Enjoy. Shelby, thank you for popping on.
Thanks for having me.
At Classic Shelb on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. I'm Jared Freer every Tuesday and Friday. If you're listening right now and you're in Atlanta, come on out to the shows.
Atlanta!
That's right. Wednesday and Thursday, I'm at Laughing Skull. It's on my website, jaredfreer.com. I'm going to be at Atlanta. That's right. Atlanta. Hot Atlanta. Come on out. There's the 8 o'clock shows are all sold out. The 10:30 shows, we got room for you. Come on out. Bring a friend. Bring a crew. We'll be back next episode. Boom.